7:52, 8 minutes before 8 o'clock, a very special guest that we all know. Formerly, he used to work over there on the Hill.
Former state representative,
yep.
Former state senator Brad Jim Fleming is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. He is president of the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. And Jim, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Yes, good morning. It's great to be here.
Now, he wrote a piece, Brad, for our audience about Tesla. And maybe how they're advertising their self-driving vehicle, their full self-driving vehicle. Talk about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of great cars out there. And when Tesla advertises their car, they talk about an autopilot system, something that drives the car itself. And we're concerned because the only car I know of that drives itself is a Rolls-Royce because it's got a chauffeur. They're all great technology, but I think they've sort of overstepped the bounds here.
Well, let me just, throw in a story? Because this actually happened to me. One of my listeners called me one day. He's a very successful businessman, and he wanted to take me to lunch, in East Hartford. So I went and went to his plant and went through it and so forth. And he says, okay, let's go to lunch. And I got in the car, and I didn't know at first, but it was a Tesla, okay? Beautiful. Cars go for about $120,000.
Nice cars.
And so we take off, okay? So we're going down the highway, and all of a sudden, he's looking out the window. His hands are not on the wheel. And I said, what's going on here? He scared me to death. And he said, that's a Tesla. So, I'm still here.
Well, all cars have those types of systems, especially the high-end ones. The problem is that when you tell your customers that they're self-drive and they're not, you run into problems. And there was a guy down in Florida just a couple of months ago, did the same thing. Car couldn't tell the difference between a white truck and a white sky background, and he went under the truck and it killed him. So what we're worried about is that it's fine to say that these cars are highly technical, that they can assist you, but they're not self-drive. And Tesla has been told in Europe and in China to stop advertising that way. We think they should stop that kind of advertising in Connecticut and in the U.S.
So is Tesla engaged in deceptive marketing?
Well, that's what we're concerned about. I think they can correct it. They have a great car. That's a great technology, but it's not self-drive. And the other manufacturers are very, very careful the way they advertise it. They use terms like driver assist, intelligent cruise control, but they don't tell their consumers that it's a self-drive automobile.
But isn't one of the reasons people are after Tesla, too, is because they want to run it? We've got a couple of dealers here in Connecticut, and they don't just say, okay, Brad, you have a company you can, your agency can run it. They want to run it themselves. Is that correct?
They want to sell direct to the public.
Yeah.
And for 100 years in Connecticut, we've had locally controlled auto dealerships. And the nice thing about that is, first of all, they are local. So if you have a problem, you can get them fixed. You know the person that sold you the car. The profits from those sales, which in Connecticut we sold $11 billion worth of cars, new car dealers last year,
wow.
Those profits stay here. They don't get shipped out of state. What Tesla wants to do is sell direct as a manufacturer, and if Tesla gets to do that, you can expect that the Chinese and the overseas companies are going to want to do the same thing. And next thing you know, there'll be no local dealerships. And sometimes you don't know what you've lost until it's gone. And we've seen a lot of local businesses go away in this country. And this is not a good way to go.
So it would change the entire paradigm of how we buy our cars.
It would. We employ 14,000 people in Connecticut in our dealerships. Tesla employs half the number of people in one of what they call a gallery because they outsource everything. They don't have the backroom operation, the HR people, the F&I people. They ship the service out of state or to regional areas. So less jobs are created, and there's less control over what these big companies do when they're based out of state.
What about the Tesla companies that are here now run by Tesla? How did that happen?
Well, Tesla opened up a dealership in Greenwich, Connecticut. We, the Car Association, believes illegally, so we have gone to court to ask the court to make a decision about that. If the court says they can operate legally, well, they can. We don't think that will happen. That's why we're asking the legislature this year that's had a bill before it for 3 years now for Tesla. Let's wait and see what the courts say. They have a lot of problems up there on the Hill, as you know. Tesla should not be at the top of their list, especially since it's in court. I think we can get it resolved in court. And, you know, if not, maybe they take a shot at it next year. But this year is not a year to bring this Tesla bill up.
Would the automotive dealers be happy if they had the chance to sell Tesla?
I've got 10 dealers right now that would take that Tesla franchise and sell them. I mean, they sell Mercedes. They sell the BMW electric vehicles. There are 33 electric vehicles being sold by major manufacturers.
Really?
We know how to sell these. Go to the DEEP website. You'll see all of those cars listed out. They're all listed for under $60,000. Average people can drive them. Keeps the air clean. We think that's the way to go. We can sell their cars for them better than they can.
And the court case, any idea when a verdict might be issued?
We would expect sometime in the summer. We're going to hear from both the Superior Court, and we've also brought an action in the Department of Motor Vehicle last month. And we'll get a decision out of them. The legislature will not have to spend time on an issue that shouldn't really be at the top of their priority list. We think that's the way to go, and not interfere in an ongoing legal case.
So, again, Jim, this is, I can see just the way you have described it, that it is a problem.
Yes.
We're coming up on the top of the hour, Brad. Jim, you can stay, right?
Can you stay?
Yes. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Good.
Glad to
stay with us past the 8 o'clock.
We're together, and we're talking about a car, the Tesla. And we have a very special guest with us, James Fleming. Jim is the president of the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. Jim, this Elon Musk, he is, what I've read about him, and I have, a character, I mean, a little bit off the wall, way out there, but brilliant. But brilliant. It's like Einstein. They say there was something wrong with him. And brilliant, or we wouldn't have what we have today.
He's a fascinating man, and he's an entrepreneur. And he has started a number of great companies. One of them is Tesla. I think that the Tesla product is a really great product. That's why car dealers who are in the business of selling, not making cars, I think could do better for Elon Musk. We could sell more of his cars, get more of these clean energy products on the road, if he would just follow the same rules that all of the other manufacturers in the country follow and around the world, and that is to let the dealer sell the car. He makes a great car. We've even offered to him, directly said, we'll sell the cars for you. Try it just in Connecticut. See if you like it, and we think he will. We'll get these cars out on the road for him much better than he will.
And why is he reluctant to do so?
Well, you know, it's difficult sometimes to figure out where he's coming from. I think at some point he may want to sell that company. And when that happens, I think he would like to sell it without what's called a dealer body. But the strange thing is that he's already admitted that because he's starting to sell more and more cars and he can't service them, he has trouble when there's a recall. They just did a Takata recall on his cars as well. He doesn't have all these auto technicians around the state to fix the car, so he ships them out. It could take you weeks to get it fixed. So he knows he's going to have to franchise at some point. We think he ought to do it now. He ought to do it in Connecticut. We want to work with him on this. We like his product, but he's a little stubborn.
Well, he's, as I said, he's out there. I mean, he's brilliant. Dan, you've read about him, too.
Well, he's an eccentric.
Yeah.
Well, that said, you mentioned before that there's a bill before the legislature. You'd like to see the court case decided. But what is specifically that bill before the legislature?
This is the third year that this bill has been brought up, and the legislature has failed to adopt it for the last 2 years. Now it's up for the third time. And what it does is it allows him to bypass local dealers and sell it directly to the public. We're worried about that. We think that is not pro-consumer. And the reason is because, first of all, when it comes time to fix the cars, it's the local dealers that do it. If you have recall work, the local dealers do it. They do it quickly. They stock the parts right here. If you have a lemon law problem, it's the manufacturer who pays to replace the car. So they don't usually like to give free cars away. It's not the dealers. The dealers fight for their customers with their own manufacturers to get those lemon law vehicles to their customers. the manufacturers will usually fight with the consumer about doing that because it's a cost to them. So we think there's a conflict of interest. It's not pro-consumer. The franchise system is. And we also think that, you know, for the legislature this year, maybe they ought to wait and see what the courts say.
Right.
You know, one of the things, just the discussion, Dan and Jim, and having been in this car, it's this much to think about if people knew about all of these sales angles and some of it that doesn't work, and they're holding the bag in the end. In a way, they are.
They are. That's what we worry about. If you know, when Yugo went out of business years ago. Because they sold direct, there were no dealers here to take care of them. When Saab went out of business just, what, 3 or 4 years ago, the dealers were here, they had the parts, they continued to take care of the cars. If Connecticut does a dangerous thing, which is to allow direct sales of Tesla, and something happens to Tesla, who's going to take care of those consumers? It may be a good bill for Elon Musk. I don't think it's a good bill for Connecticut consumers. Plus the fact that we're willing to sell the cars for him. He could sell those cars legally in Connecticut tomorrow if he would follow the franchise system. So we hope that he will come around and let us do that for him.
So you think the reason he won't is because he someday wants to sell it?
Yes, and I think he feels maybe his company is more valuable if in the future he decides to sell to what we worry about is perhaps he sells to an overseas corporation. And then it's not just about Tesla going around the pro-consumer local dealerships. It could be a large company in China. And once that happens, like I say, you're going to lose something like the locally controlled dealerships, and you're going to be dealing with a corporation in China and not somebody who's right in your hometown selling you cars.
You know, the electric car apparatus itself, though, is very fascinating. We were talking during the news at the top of the hour, and if you look at the history of the electric car, it goes way back, doesn't it?
Yeah. Fascinating is that the Pope Electric was the car that Theodore Roosevelt drove in the first motorcade right down Trumbull Street in Hartford. So we have a history with selling electric vehicles in
Pope
Connecticut.
Park.
Yeah, Pope Park. That's why we think we could do a better job selling cars for him. The legislature, as I said, has a lot of issues this year. This thing is in the courts. They ought to give it a rest this year. Let's see if the courts can work it out. I think ultimately what's going to happen is dealers are going to end up selling these vehicles directly to the public for a company like Tesla. We're open to that. We've told the committee that we're open to that. We ought to give that a shot.
The electric car itself, it's quiet. We have charging stations across the state. So the infrastructure is being put there for the electric car owner, isn't it?
In fact, most of the infrastructure for charging vehicles is at dealerships. Connecticut dealerships make their charging stations available to the public, unlike Tesla, which they are exclusive only to Tesla cars.
Wow.
Now, let me just ask you also, heard that electric cars in the snow don't do very well.
The battery technology is developing. The Bolt, for example, the new Chevy Bolt that's coming out next month at a mid-range price, will go 250 miles. It's just like a gasoline car in terms of mileage, low range anxiety. But the battery technology is being worked on. All electric cars have that issue, but we're solving it.
You mean as far as snow goes?
As far as snow and cold, or if you're down in Florida and you're running your air conditioner, you can have the same kind of an issue.
Yeah.
But the technology is developing. There are great cars out there right now that reduce that range anxiety that we call it, that maybe I'm going to run out of juice if I have to drive home in a snowstorm.
But again, you're saying the dealerships that you represent, they have something like 33 models of electric cars?
Yeah. Mr. Musk has said he's a startup company. He's not. He's been in business for 14 years. He's not entitled to an exception. He says he's a unique technology. He's not. 33 of these vehicles you can buy right now through a traditional dealership. He is a multi-million-dollar corporation. He talks to the president of the United States on a regular basis. Why do we make an exception for Tesla and we don't do it for the other 33 manufacturers.
True. That's a
I don't
a
understand
good point.
It.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Well, he's been in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Jim Fleming, president of the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. Jim, thanks very much for joining us
really?
In studio this morning.
My pleasure.
This is terrific.
I enjoyed very much.
Well, and we'll have you back because there's so much to talk about when it comes to automobiles
in general. You know something, though, Dan? You just hit it, too. There's so much to talk about. We just take these automobiles for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we do.
Well,
but we've got this great story for the folks that listen to us here in this state and buy their cars here.
Sure is. Thanks for spending some time with
us. Okie doke. Thank you.